The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
I think that the whole road safety sector is evidence-based, and there's nothing to suggest that it creates more safer outcomes.
And your final message to people that are about to embark on a big, long trip would be what?
Just don't rush. Don't rush in terms of physically and mentally. Just sit back, you know, and appreciate that you've got some time off, and think about what it's worth if you're not feeling absolutely up scratch, or maybe, and when you touched on before, if you are leaving late, you may not even know what state your vehicle's in. Or if you can, and it's you're not giving up too much, then just second guess whether you're right to drive. And, you know, if you're going to be drinking, absolutely separate your drinking and driving. Even at 0.02, there's a slight impairment. So our advice is just to separate it all together.
Thank you so much for being on the program. We'll catch up again next month.
Yeah, good one, Mitchell. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick McGay there, TAC Manager of Media and Corporate Communications. It's coming up to 10:20. Now, a little while ago, I caught up with Cameron Shepherd, who is the Director of Shape HR, to talk about this issue of drugs in the workplace, because we know that there's talk about New Start and whether we should test people that receive New Start. But what about employers testing people that already work in these sort of positions? And I'm not just talking about, for example, mining and positions that require you to operate heavy vehicles and dangerous equipment. I'm talking about just the everyday workplace. How far can employers go when it comes to drug testing, and what does the law actually say? So my first question to Cameron was whether or not drugs in the workplace was a big problem.
Well, yes. I mean, statistically, we find that there are more and more cases every day, every week, every month, and it's across different industries. Some are particularly rife. There's been some investigations into what happens on rural properties, particularly around the sheep shearing industry. Manufacturing and construction, there has been legislation brought in specifically to deal with this. The Australian Building and Construction Commission in stipulates that there's a requirement to provide drug testing regime for those that work in that industry or supply to that industry. So it is a big deal.
Because in some of those industries that you mentioned, it's a pretty dangerous environment if someone is taking drugs and different medications and the cocktail effect. If they're operating heavy machinery, that could spell disaster.
Absolutely. When you're interacting with moving machinery, moving parts, heavy objects, it's just not a place where, not a great combination, not a great cocktail if you've got drugs and alcohol in people's systems wandering around while you've got those types of things happening in the workplace.
So from an employer's point of view, what can they do about it?
Yeah, well, as I said, depending on the industry, it's a requirement to develop some sort of testing regime. This can include oral blood or urine sampling screening. The place to start is to really think about what is it that we want to achieve with this, and start to communicate with workers how it's going to happen.
Is that typically done in-house, or do you have to get people in from outside that have all of that expertise? Do they come in and do it?
Yeah, the Australian standards are quite prescriptive. And that's on who can do the testing and how it should be handled. It should be an accredited person. It's possible to get that accreditation for someone in-house. Quite often, companies would opt to have someone external coming in. And that also would give the testing an element of objectivity as well, that there's something, there's someone externally coming in and doing it and conducting. It's not something that's just been where a handful of people have been picked for some other reason to do testing. And there's a strict following of rules, particularly around the chain of custody, which is how samples are taken and then how they're transported to an accredited facility to be verified.
What does the law say about the rights of privacy for workers? Because some of the methods you describe can be quite invasive.
Yes, so some of the, privacy pertains to information and circumstances of individuals. where it intersects with workplace legislation is around or can come into some sort of conflict with workplace legislation is around the health and safety aspect of the workplace. Health and safety legislation stipulates that employers must provide a safe and healthy workplace for all of its workers. And so that's not just for the person that is working that may be under the influence of drugs or alcohol, but also all of those other workers that may be affected by the actions or omissions, so the things that that person that's influenced does or does not do in the workplace. So, yeah, there's a real responsibility there for employers to make sure they're doing their bit in terms of the drug and alcohol testing.
But there's obviously a balancing act there, because if employers go too overboard, I'd imagine that can have impacts on the actual culture of a workplace.
That's right, and I think it's about working with employees and the workforce to really establish the reason for the testing, make that clear, have a conversation and a dialogue, also providing best practices to provide support services for people that maybe have issues outside of work. An employee assistance program is one way that particularly bigger employees choose to do that, so a dedicated helpline that employees can ring about personal issues, including drug and alcohol use. And being approachable as management, that's a key to this. So there is a line. The choices that people make on the weekend and outside of work, there shouldn't be a feeling that the work is encroaching too much on those choices. However, again, the balance is to make sure that everyone returns home as they arrived at work, and that's safely and in a healthy state.
If you're trying to have the best rate of success, should you be looking at random drug testing? And if so, are you able to just test anyone, anywhere, at any time?
Yeah, and again, Mitchell, I think the key is communication. So if you have a drug and alcohol policy and you've made it known to the workforce in any position, at any time, they may be required to provide a random drug and alcohol sampling. Well, if the workforce has been notified, and they've been trained on that policy, then it really is one of those things that we should accept as an employee, that it's a requirement for our workplace to require that sample, yeah.
So what are the actual steps? You've sort of indicated what employers need to do from a communications point of view, but how do you actually start to go about implementing such a regime in the workplace?
Yep. So once we've communicated the why and how it's going to happen, partnering up with an external agency is often a really good option for employees. So speaking to someone that has that accreditation, they're dotted all over the country. And so having someone explain to that person what the policy is, partner what the policy would be, and what the expectations are that you've got of your employees, and organising some sort of random means of selecting the people that are going to undergo the test. So that would be, it could be names out of a hat from someone that's completely outside of the department that would be responsible for that testing. It could be some sort of computerised way of selecting. So, even from spreadsheets, there's ways of doing that. And then notifying the employees on the day what the requirements will be. There's certain steps that need to be taken before they can perform a test. And then having them sign the paperwork that will come with an accredited test. So making sure that they declare that they are who they are and that they understand it's a test, and going through the process of testing. And then if you have, depending on the result, if you have non-negative, what's prescribers are non-negative, then further testing to confirm that the result is indeed non-negative, and if you've got performance management practices around that, so employees know that if they have fail a test, or if they if they fail a test, that there's going to be some sort of disciplinary reaction, or a performance management process where there may be that type of disciplinary action that comes as a result of it, then you follow through with that.
Are employers really trying to look for presence or influence with their testing?
It's a great question, Mitchell. Presence could indicate that then, and the distinction between those two is that presence indicates that there has been use of a particular, or that there is some particular substance, an illicit substance, or alcohol in the system at some point in time. So some testing will, for example, urine's a classic one, that it will go further back into a time frame where there is some sort of substance in a person's system. Whereas influence is a shorter time frame, it's more recent, and it would capture something, an illicit substance or alcohol that is in a person's system at the time of the test. So it's a shorter time frame, it might be 72 hours, depending on the substance, which would indicate that there's been recent use and that that person may be under the influence of drugs or alcohol in the workplace. Now, in terms of what's the choice there, again, not wanting to encroach on a person's personal choices outside of work, influence testing is a safer and fairer and more consistent way of ensuring that everyone's health and safety is in everyone's interests, and that it's at the forefront of everyone's actions, and that is probably the preference of most employers, I would suggest.
Well, Cam, thank you once again for being on the program this morning, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks very much, Mitchell.
Cameron Shepherd there from Shape HR, talking about drug testing in the workplace.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.